following is a recording from Melanie Carpenter from iAdvise on Thursday, August 11th, 2016 at 9 a.m. Central. This is the IFS second quarter 2016 conference call. Good morning and welcome to the Intercorp Financial Services second quarter 2016 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. Thank you. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. On today's call, Intercorp Financial Services will discuss its second quarter 2016 earnings. We are very pleased to have with us Mr. Luis Felipe Castellanos, Chief Executive Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mrs. Miquela Casaza, Chief Financial Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mr. Gonzalo Basabe, Chief Executive Officer of Interseguro, Mr. Juan Pablo Segura, Chief Financial Officer of Interseguro, Mr. Reinaldo Roisendit, Chief Executive Officer of Inteligo Group, and Mrs. Claudia Valdivia, Chief Financial Officer of Inteligo Group. They will be discussing the results that were distributed on Tuesday, August 9th. There is also a presentation to accompany these results. If you did not receive a copy of the presentation or the earnings, it is now available on the company's website, ifs.com.pe, to download a copy. Otherwise, for any reason, if you need any assistance today, please call iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mrs. Casaza, Intercorp's Chief Financial Officer, for her presentation. Mrs. Casaza, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to IFS second quarter earnings call. We will start on page number 3 of the presentation, where we will be discussing a summary of IFS results and the main extraordinary items in this second quarter. IFS net profit for the quarter was $178 million, almost 200% increase quarter on quarter, but a 48.6% decrease year on year. IFS bottom line result was mainly affected by two extraordinary items. The first one at Interseguro, related to the higher requirement of technical reserve due to a lower discount rate using the calculation of the overall stock of reserve as per IFRS accounting methodology, with a negative impact of $55.5 million in the quarter, which compares with a positive impact of $92.7 million in the second quarter of the previous year. Second, at Interseguro, a negative impact on investment portfolio of $5.8 million, coming mainly from impairment, which has been partially compensated with gains on the sale of other investments. And the third one, foreign exchange losses, coming from the evolution of soles versus dollar exchange rate to a lower extent than what we had on the previous quarter. Excluding previously mentioned extraordinary items, IFS second quarter net profit would have been $229.9 million, a 10% increase both quarter on quarter and year on year. At Interbank, the second quarter net profit was $199.8 million, a 0.6% decrease year-on-year, mainly due to lower net gains on foreign exchange transactions, which decreased 44% year-on-year. Excluding such effect, net income would have grown 13.4% year-on-year. At Interseguro, the second quarter result was a loss of $55.8 million, compared to profits of $117.2 million in the second quarter of the previous year. The bottom line result was mainly affected by the two extraordinary items previously mentioned and by the reduction on retirement annuity sales due to the new law. Excluding the extraordinary item, the second quarter net profit was $5.5 million, up $19 million quarter on quarter and relatively flat year on year. At Inteligo, the second quarter net profit was $53.7 million, a significant recovery quarter on quarter of 76.7% and year on year of 7.3%. On page 4, you can see a summary of the key quarterly indicators for IFS. Net interest and similar income increases 0.3% quarter on quarter and 7.8% year on year. The quarterly and yearly increases are mainly driven by Interbank and Inteligo, partially offset by Interseguro. Fee income from financial services increases strongly by 4.3% on a quarterly basis, mainly due to strong performances at Inteligo and Interbank and increases 11.1% on a yearly basis. NIM improved at IFF 10 basis points quarter on quarter to 5.6%, with NIM at Interbank improving 50 basis points to 6.0%. PDLs increased 20 basis points on a quarterly basis to 2.5% at IFF level, and cost of risk increased 10 basis points quarter on quarter to 3.1%, mainly due to a loan mix effect at Interbank as the commercial loan portfolio increased 0.9% on a quarterly basis, while the retail loan portfolio increased 2.6%, with credit cards growing 3.6%. Credit cards PDL ratio increased 40 basis points in the second quarter, in line with increased register at the system level, and has continued to show a better containment of loan delinquencies, especially in the shorter collection periods. Coverage ratios continue to be strong at more than 175% at Interbank. Efficiency ratio was 39.4% and has been impacted by Interseguro's result for the high level of technical reserves due to the negative impact of interest rates. Excluding such effect, efficiency ratio would have been 37.3%, below last quarter and the same quarter of the previous year. Capitalization ratio for Interbank remains strong at 16.2%. Please turn to the following page for a brief overview of the quarterly net earnings of IFS 3 segments. On page 7, before entering into the details of Interbank results, we'd like to give you a short update of the banking industry, which is impacting the bank results, but which has, at the same time, allowed us to gain market share in many of our products. There has been a slowdown in loan growth at system level, with loans growing only 0.8% year-to-date and 8.3% year-on-year as of June 2016. Retail loans grew 2.5% year-to-date and between 8 and 9% year-on-year, while commercial loans decreased 0.6% year-to-date and increased 7.5% year-on-year. Cost of risk at system level has increased 20 basis points to 2.1% as of June at system level, and results from financial operations has decreased 14% year-on-year at system level, with a strong decrease in foreign exchange trading gains impacting most of banks' results of financial operation results. Interbank profits reached 199.8 million in the second quarter, a decrease of 2 million quarter-on-quarter, and 1.2 million year-on-year, or 0.6%. The quarterly reduction was mainly due to increases of 10.6 million in provisions and 8.5 million in other expenses, factors that were partially offset by loss of 19.3 million in net interest in similar income and 3.5 million in fee income from financial services. Interbank's ROE was 21.3% in the second quarter of 2016. NIM increased 50 basis points in this quarter to 6.0%, with NIM on loans relatively stable at 9.8%. The improvement in NIM is mainly due to a better mix of interest-earning assets with higher returns on the investment portfolio, in addition to lower dollar deposits, which have a higher reserve requirement with low returns. On page 8, this quarter, we have seen a recovery of loan growth at Interbank, especially in the retail book, with performing loans growing 1.8% quarter-on-quarter due to increases of 2.6% in retail loans and 0.9% in commercial loans. Retail loans increased due to growth of 3.6% in credit cards, 2.9% in other consumer loans, and 1.6% in mortgages. Commercial loans grew mainly due to higher trade finance loans and short and medium-term loans, partially offset by lower leasing operations. On a yearly basis, performing loans grew 8.1% due to increases of 9.9% in retail loans and 6.2% in commercial loans. Retail loans growth was driven by increases of 12.6% in other consumer loans, 11.7% in mortgages, and 4.7% in credit cards. Commercial loans grew mainly due to increases in short and medium-term lending, partially offset by lower trade finance loans and leasing operations. Our market share on total loans increased 20 basis points on a quarterly basis and 10 basis points on a yearly basis to 11.3% as of June. On page 9, Interbank's total funding base decreased 6.1% quarter-on-quarter. Decline that was due to decreases of 8% in deposits, 2% in bonds, and 1.4% in due to banks and Interbank funds. The quarterly decline in deposits was mainly explained by reductions of institutional and commercial deposits, Both effects largely concentrated in dollar deposits, yet partially offset by a 1.7% growth in retail deposits. The bank's total funding base increased 8.2% on a yearly basis due to growth of 10% in deposits, 4.5% in due to bank and interbank funds, and 2.8% in bonds. The yearly growth in deposits was explained by growth of 27% in commercial deposits and 13.4% in retail deposits, partially offset by a 20% decline in institutional deposits. The portion of deposits to total funding increased from 67.7% in the second quarter of the previous year to 69% in the second quarter of 2016. Our total deposit market share increased 20 basis points on a yearly basis, retail deposits growing 40 basis points. The increase in cost of funds of 20 basis points in the quarter is mainly due to the dollar-sol mix, which is also reflected in our higher loan-to-deposit ratio due to a higher component of soles in our loan and deposit portfolio when compared to the system. At page number 10, when looking at FBS comparable figures to the system, Interbank's past due loan ratio was 2.7% in the second quarter of 2016. The coverage ratio remained strong at 175.4% in the second quarter, and the same trends are valid for the IFRS PDL figures. When looking at the PDL breakdown, we can see within retail that the overall consumer credit PDL has increased 20 basis points on the quarter to 3.7%, while the system average has increased 30 basis points, reaching 3.8%. Credit card PDLs increased 40 basis points to 5.2%, in line with the system average increase of 40 basis points, reaching 5%. Mortgages increases PDL ratio 20 basis points to 3.1%, also in line with increase of the system of 20 basis points. Within the commercial portfolio, PDLs remain well below the system average in medium-sized companies and has registered an increase in small companies of 20 basis points up to 8.2%, in line with the system average increase. The annualized ratio of provision expense to average loan has increased 30 basis points to 3.1% in the second quarter. This ratio remains above the system average of 2.3%, mainly due to the mix of the portfolio, with a higher incidence of retail and credit cards when compared to the system and to the other big three banks. Normalizing the effect of our portfolio mix, our ratio will be in line with the system's average. When looking at IFRS cost of risk figures, the increase in the ratio is only 10 basis points, but it reaches 3.3%. On the following page, we are including the trend of the de-dollarization of our loan portfolio in the last 12 months. When compared to the industry, as of the second quarter, our portfolio is more de-dollarized, with 73.8% of our portfolio in soles versus 68.8% of the industry. This is mainly due to two factors. First, that we have a higher share of retail loans, which are more soles-based than commercial loans. And second, that we have a higher soles-based component in our mortgage portfolio within retail loans. Moreover, we have been able to de-dollarize more than 5 additional percentage points in the last 12 months. On the following page, fee income from financial services increased 1.8% quarter-on-quarter, mainly explained by reductions of 5.7 million in other expenses and 1.4 million in expenses related to the sale of insurance. These effects were partially offset by a 3.8 million decrease in commission from banking services. Fee income from financial services increased 12.4% year-on-year, mainly due to increases in fees from maintenance and mailing of accounts, interchange fees, transfer and credit and debit card services, and in commission from banking services. Other expenses increased by 8.5 million quarter-on-quarter or 2.4% and by 6.4 million year-on-year or 1.8%. The quarterly growth in other expenses was mainly due to increases of 4.1% in salaries and employee benefits and 3.6% in administrative expenses, while the annual growth in other expenses was explained by increases of depreciation and amortization and administrative expenses, partially offset by lower provisions for tax and legal contingencies. The efficiency ratio was 41.7% in the second quarter, above the 41.2% registered in the first quarter, but the same as reported in the second quarter of the previous year. Despite the decrease in total income coming from forex trading income, we have been able to control costs and to maintain the efficiency ratio, which has strongly improved last year. On the following page, the ratio of regulatory capital to risk-weighted assets for the bank was 16.2%, above the 15.5% registered in the fourth quarter. As of the second quarter of this year, Interbank's capital ratio of 16.2 was 440 basis points above its risk-adjusted minimum capital ratio requirement, established at 11.8%. The minimum regulatory capital requirement was 10%, while the additional capital requirement for the bank was 1.8%. Please turn to the following page to discuss Interseguro's results. Interseguro's net result attributable to shareholders in the second quarter was a loss of $56.6 million, which compares to a loss of $135.5 million in the first quarter and a profit of $117.5 million in the second quarter of the previous year. The quarterly improvement in profits was mainly due to a $92.5 million decline in adjustment of technical reserves and a $64 million increase in net gain on sale of securities registered as other income. These factors were partially offset by a $47 million decline in net premiums and a $34.3 million increase in impairment loss on available for sale investments, registered as other expenses. The yearly decline was mainly due to a $79 million increase in adjustment of technical reserves, a $49 million decrease in net premiums, a $45 million increase in impairment loss on available for sale investments, and a $14.7 million increase in net claims and benefits incurred. These effects were partially offset by a $20.5 million increase in profit from sale of securities. Excluding the extraordinary items mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, the second quarter net profit was $5.5 million, up $19 million quarter-on-quarter and relatively flat year-on-year. On the following page, you can see a comparison with local GAAP results. Interseguro's results in the second quarter was $57 million loss under IFRS, but a $28 million profit under local GAAP. The main differences between the IFRS and the local GAAP net profits are as follows. First, a higher adjustment of technical reserves under IFRS as a result of the use of a lower weighted average discount rate to calculate technical reserves for annuities, which in this quarter accounts for $69 million. Second, a higher net gain on valuation of real estate investment, as under IFRS they are considered at fair value. Third, a lower profit from sale of investment property, as under IFRS gains are measured against market value, whereas local GAAP gains are measured against cost. Fourth, a higher impairment loss on available for sale investments due to a more rigorous impairment policy under IFRS. And last, a higher net gain on sales of securities, as under local GAAP, certain bonds are registered as held to maturity and thus gains on sales are amortized during the life of the bonds. On the following page, looking at net premiums in the second quarter, they reached $130.1 million, a 26.6% decrease quarter-on-quarter and 27.6% decrease year-on-year. Both decreases explained by a contraction in the market of annuities due to a new law that allows retirees to withdraw 95.5% of their retirement fund upon retirement. Annuities market share in the second quarter was 23.1%, which positioned Interseguro as the market leader. Adjustment of technical reserves in the second quarter was $135.5 million, a 40.6% decrease quarter-on-quarter, and 140% increase year-on-year. The quarterly decrease was mainly driven by lower sales, while the yearly increase is driven by the changes in the weighted average discount rates, as in the second quarter of this year, these changes led to a constitution of technical reserves higher than the release of reserves occurring in the second quarter of the previous year. Net claims and benefits incurred in the second quarter were $75 million, a 2.0% decrease quarter-on-quarter and 24% year-on-year increase. The yearly growth was mainly explained by the growth of annuities pensions. Considering the factors previously explained, total premiums earned claims and benefits resulted in $80.4 million negative in the second quarter, an increase of $47 million quarter-on-quarter and a decrease of $143 million year-on-year. On the following page, looking at Interseguro investment portfolio, It reached $5,329 million as of the second quarter, increasing 4.3% quarter-on-quarter and 12.3% year-on-year. The result from investments in the second quarter was $67.1 million, which represented a 5.1% return on the Aseguros investment portfolio, above the 2.4% reported in the previous quarter, but still below the 8% reported in the second quarter of the previous year. The quarterly improvement was largely explained by an increase of $64.6 million in net gain on sale of securities and an increase of $8.2 million in net gain on valuation of real estate investments, partially offset by an increase of $34.3 million in impairment loss on available-for-sale investments. The increase in net gain on sale of security was mainly explained by a higher profit in equity and a higher profit on sale of fixed income securities. The increase in valuation gain from investment property was due to real estate appreciation of certain properties in the second quarter. The yearly decrease was explained by an increase of $45 million in impairment loss on available-for-sale investments and $7.6 million decrease in valuation gain for investment property, partially offset by an increase of $20.5 million in net gain on sale of securities and $3.4 million increase in net interest and similar income. On the following page, we will start the discussion on Inteligo's group's results. Inteligo's net interest and similar income for the second quarter was $27 million, a 9.9% increase quarter-on-quarter and 16.9% when compared with the first quarter of the previous year. The quarterly result was attributable to higher income and dividends on investments available for sale, partially offset by an increase in interest and similar expense on deposits and obligations. The yearly result was mainly attributable to higher income on available-for-sale investment and also higher interest on loans as a result of a 1.3% year-on-year growth in the size of our loan portfolio. Net fee income for financial services grew by $6.9 million or 28.7% on a quarterly basis, mainly due to higher activity in brokerage services. When compared with the second quarter, net fee income from financial services increased 3.6% year-on-year. The result was attributable to an increase in brokerage and custody services income and a favorable result in other related expenses. Inteligo's other income reached $16.4 million in the second quarter of 2016, a more than eightfold increase quarter-on-quarter due to the higher net gain on sale of securities. Other income decreased 12.9% year-on-year on the second quarter, mainly explained by a reduction in the net gain on sale of securities, partially offset by a recovery in net trading gains. Other expenses grew 2.6% on a quarterly basis as a result of a $1.1 million growth in salaries and employee benefits, partially offset by a decrease in administrative expenses. Other expenses decreased by $1.5 million or 6.8% year-on-year, mainly explained by a reduction in administrative expenses due to lower third-party related services. As a result, Inteligo's net profit in the second quarter was $53.7 million, a $23.3 million or 76.7% increase quarter-on-quarter and a $3.7 million or 7.3% growth year-on-year. On the following page, Asset Under Management Plus deposits reached $13,794 million in the second quarter, solid, of 2016, a $418 million or 3.1% increase when compared to the previous quarter, and $1,814 million or 15.1% increase when compared to the second quarter of the previous year. Inteligo's loan portfolio stood at $1,620 million soles in the second quarter, 3.6% increase quarter-on-quarter, but a 1.3% increase year-on-year. Revenues generated by Inteligo reached $75 million, a 47% increase quarter-on-quarter, and 3.5% increase year-on-year. Inteligo Bank's fee income divided by asset under management increased to 1% in the second quarter. Inteligo's net profit reached $54 million, while annualized ROE was 38.1%, higher than the 20.5% reported in the first quarter, but slightly below the 38.2% registered in the second quarter of the previous year. To finalize the presentation, on page 23, we can summarize the key takeaways. At Interbank, slower growth given current market conditions, current market environment. Second, credit cards and commercial loans resumed growth on the quarter, leading to a 20 basis points gain in market share on total loans. 13.4% year-on-year growth in retail deposits, which has allowed us to gain 40 basis point market share over the year. Dollar exposure within the loan book reduced by 550 basis points year-on-year, with retail loans already more than 90% in local currency. At Interseguro, premiums decreased year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter by roughly 27% due to the new law for annuities, and the investment portfolio grew 4.3% quarter-on-quarter and 12.3% year-on-year. At Inteligo, asset under management plus deposits increased 3.1% quarter-on-quarter and 15.1% year-on-year, with revenues growing 47% on the quarter and 3.5% in the year. Net profit increased 77% quarter-on-quarter and 7.3% year-on-year. At ISS level, profits, excluding the discount rate impact on technical reserves and Interseguro, increased 57% quarter-on-quarter due to good core results at Interbank and Inteligo, while Interseguro improved its investment profile. On a yearly basis, net income continued to be negatively impacted by higher requirements of technical reserves at Interseguro due to the low discount rate on annuities. Before your questions, we would also like to give you an update on the stock repurchase program that we approved last May in our shareholders' meeting. At ISS, as of July 15, we have bought 432,521 shares for a total amount of $13.3 million, which represents 0.38% of total outstanding shares and roughly 22% of the total amount negotiated on ISS stocks in the Lima Stock Exchange since the launch of the program. Now, we welcome any questions you may have.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you'd like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. And we have our first question coming from Carlos Rivera from Citi.
Hi, good morning everyone, and thanks for the presentation. My first question is regarding loan growth, which has decelerated, and I believe in the past you have mentioned about 13% loan growth for this year. So is this still a valid guidance given what we're seeing, the trends that we're seeing, and what can we expect for 2017? And also on loan growth, if you could comment a little bit about the loan mix, because we're seeing that you are growing stronger in retail, particularly credit cards, you are gaining market share actually. And this contrasts a little bit with the strategy of one of your competitors. So if you could elaborate a little on what you're seeing in the market that makes you comfortable to gain market share. And I'll ask my second question after. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Carlos, for your question. The first one related to the loan growth and the guidance of 13%, we believe, doesn't hold any longer, as we have seen some deceleration of loan growth during the first semester of this year. We believe we would be more in the line of 9 to 10% at system level. Okay, so basically we are expecting a certain slow recovery in the second half of the year, but we believe it's really going to be mild and maybe coming more from commercial as some of the projects start to pick up. Related to 2017, that is going to be, again, related to what happens with the macro scenario. We would expect a slight recovery of loan growth during next year for the same reasons I just commented. So as the big projects start to take place, commercial loans should start to resume growth, okay? And as the internal demand also starts to improve, retail loans should start to resume growth. But we believe that's going to be, in any case, slightly during the year. As per your question related to loan mix and our gaining market share on the retail portfolio, here I have to comment that if you see the performance of Interbank over the last 12 months, you would have noticed that we stopped growth in credit cards for like 3 or 4 quarters, and that started actually in the second half of last year when we started seeing the deterioration of the portfolio. So basically, after 3-4 quarters of not growing credit cards and fine-tuning underwriting standards and all the things that we needed to do, we have started to see a slight recovery of growth, tackling, I mean, the best profiles in our portfolio. So that's why I believe you will see a difference to what you are seeing in other competitors in the industry. And of course, we will continue to do so, but with our right underwriting under standards and maintaining the risk profile that that we have approved internally. I'm not sure whether this covers the first part.
Okay, thanks a lot. And my second question is regarding the profitability. I mean, the ROE for this quarter is recovering 15%, of course still impacted by the higher technical reserves. But if we exclude all the non-recurring items that you mentioned on slide 3, and thanks a lot for that slide, I still get to an ROE of around 20%. Is this a normalized level? I believe the target and delivery in the past used to be closer to the mid-20s. So can we expect a return of the ROE, excluding all extraordinary items, back to the mid-20s? And if you think that's possible, by when do you think that could happen? Thanks a lot.
Okay. For that question, Carlos, I believe that we're going to be in the low 20s. And to be sincere, there is volatility coming from the fact of the discount rate. Not so even when you take that into account, there are still some other indirect impacts that has on the figure. So I would believe that for the following years, we will be more on the low 20s with some possibilities of outpacing that.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alonso Haramburu from BTG.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. Just a follow-up on the loan growth answer, Michela. You mentioned that the system, you expect the system to grow 9 to 10%. Is that the level you also expect Interbank to grow loans this year, or given the fact that you started growing faster this quarter, do you think you can grow a little bit faster than that? And then I will ask my second question.
Alonso, to be sincere,